2. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Nice to see you. Peggy Cole, are you in the building? Peggy Cole. Okay. Celia, you want to do Mommy Reads? No, okay. Here's Janine. Janine Christian will jump in here. The mission box is for Mommy Reads, and Janine Christian is always on the ready. Thank you, Janine. Thank
you. Good morning. This next Saturday, the mission box is for Mommy Reed this morning, and this next Saturday we'll be making the trip down to Lowell for our Mommy Reads program. The United Methodist Women initiated this program 4 years ago, and since that time, it has expanded. We have served 575 women inmates, which have impacted over 1,500 children. And we've done this by expanding out, and we've had 65 volunteers going down quarterly. On the inside of your bulletin, there's a little explanation about Mommy Reads if you're not real familiar with it. We want to thank this congregation for all of your contributions, your money, your book donations, and especially your prayers. And we still want you to continue with your prayers for this ministry. Today is Mother's Day, and we want to remember all the mothers, regardless of what their situation may be, and hope to God bless all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Janine. Would you join me in our liturgy at Trinity? Welcome home. Why are we here? Would you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, we do gather in your name to worship you, to be about the work you've called us to be about, to make this deep connection with you. And we pray today that on this Mother's Day, it might be a glorious celebration for moms, but also for all of us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please stand and join in the singing of our opening hymn, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name.
Faith as found in this historic creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the
seated. And we have the wonderful joy of celebrating the sacrament of baptism. Elizabeth Jones will lead us in that.
We're thrilled to invite the Newbert family forward, John and Inga, for the baptisms of Pete and Jack. You may come forward. And also, we're thrilled to have the baptism of another little Jack, the Clugstons, Audrey and Jay. May come forward, and their friends and family, you may come forward too.
This is a glorious time. Nice to have everybody here. And I think I'll ask the questions to all the parents. And John, right? John's going to be baptized as well, and their family's going to join the church, which is a glorious thing. So do you all, as parents and John as an individual, acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you?
Yes.
And will you promise to love God and rear your children under the ministry and guidance of the church so they can come to a vital personal relationship with God, will you? Good. I'd like to pray over the water. God, we give you thanks for the gift of water, for all its symbolism, its life-giving symbolism, and all that it means. And we ask your blessings on this water in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. Okay. John Kim Newbert, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And God, may your blessings be upon John today and forevermore. Keep him in the palm of your hand, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, John. Peter? Peter Libby Kim Newbert. Peter Libby Kim Newbert, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you, Peter, always. Amen. And Jackson Oliver Hines Newbert, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you always, Jack. Amen. What a joy and privilege to be baptized the same day as your dad. Or same day as your kids. Yeah. Awesome. Ingrid, thank you. And this is a little, well, we're going to call him Jack, right? James, who lives in Macon, Georgia. Would that be cousin, wouldn't it? Cousin is going to, hold the ball. That's what you've been trying to tell me, right? And James Albert Clugston. James Albert Clugston, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. Oh, yeah, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's blessings be upon you always. Amen. Okay. Well, we welcome the Newbert family, and we welcome James Albert Jack Clugston into our congregation. And congregation, would you say to all of these new friends, we welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always.
Okay. Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for
that's a wonderful thing. I would invite you to look at the screen and see who we would like for you to keep in your prayers. I believe Bill Edwards has gone home. Marie Brown is now in Oak Hammock. Keep John and Rebecca. Also Betty Fernweger, Dot Stout, Francis Allison. A couple of others that Rosemary couldn't be here today, but Herrick Smith and Rose Brooks will, Rose, you're here somewhere, will be having surgery next week. And so will Art Reed. Art Reed's going to have a hip replacement. Narcy Jeter, whose husband is Mike. Mike's not here today, I don't think, is he? Yeah, Narcy had brain surgery Friday. And Narcy is the director of the Wesley Foundation at University of Florida. But she's doing well. She's going home today. Keep John Thomas, Eva Dimitroff, Sally and Diana Phillips in your prayers, and the family of Cheryl Hartman. Would you join me in prayer? God, it's a privilege to pray for these persons and more, others that come on our hearts and minds now as we collectively, as the body of Christ, lift these persons in prayer. Also, we lift the new persons who were baptized today in prayer. What a sacred moment, special moment that we've been able to share this morning. We pray that you'll be and visit with us in this service, that we might sense your presence in a powerful way. We pray for people around the world, I think especially this morning, of Christians in Syria. All of the people of Syria are under a tremendous, but I think particularly of the Christian community that's been there for thousands of years. We ask your protection upon them. Have your will and your way in our lives as we seek to do the next step that you would have us to do. These things and more we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us when we gathered together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A number of months ago, a couple years ago, we set a goal to burn the mortgage here that's been with us for many years. And Kirk and Michelle Klein stepped up to help lead that, and they're going to give you an update today. Kirk and Michelle, would you come? And thanks for your great leadership in this.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for letting us share today, and we just want to update everyone on the Imagine the Possibilities campaign to burn our mortgage. We started this about 3 years ago in 2011, and just to summarize, when we started the campaign, the mortgage was at $3.4 million. Since that time, we've received pledges for $2.6 million, and we've received a very generous $500,000 estate gift. Today, the balance of the mortgage is at $974,000. Here's some really exciting news. With the outstanding pledges that we will receive and keeping focus on this campaign, right now we are projected to be less than $125,000 by 1 year from now. We just want to thank everyone for your support that has contributed to this campaign. If you haven't gotten involved, there's still time to get involved. With God's help, with everyone's support and prayers, we are very confident that a year from now, we will be standing with you all together celebrating the burning of the mortgage, which we're very excited about. Thank you for letting us share. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and God bless.
Thanks, Kurt. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very exciting. Three big things are happening this Wednesday night. Dinner's at 5:30. 6:30 will be the last installment of A Disciple's Path. And so they'll gather here, but that will happen over in the Education Building. So that's at 6:30. The 6:35 service will be in the chapel, and the Rejoice Concert Splash Kingdom will be right here at 6:30 this Wednesday night. I promised you that we would show you pictures of our new associates who are coming. And first you'll see Aaron and Lenora Russo. Aaron and Lenora have, as you can see, three children. And Aaron's just finishing up seminary, this graduation next. And Lenora has owned her own dance studio, I think mainly ballet. Sort of excitement about them coming here. And then our other associate is Esther Rodriguez. Esther was born in Puerto Rico, is bilingual, bicultural, grew up largely in Lake Placid, Florida, and just finished Asbury Seminary, I think, a year ago or so, and has been serving this past year at an impoverished area called Gretna area near Tallahassee. So keep Esther and Aaron and Aaron's family in your prayers, and we are delighted to welcome them here. Let's see. Jim or Diane Backus, you have guests here this morning or people that you met as they came in today. Tell us their names, would you? Or would you? You tell us. Mike and Blake Chambers. Nice to see you. Yeah. They were greeted by the Backuses. This is the way you ought to greet every new person, so warmly and so friendly that they wanted to sit with the Backuses and stay right there. So that's good, Blake. Glad to have that. Would you take a moment, stand, turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and say, God bless your mom.
Seniors and your families, if you will please stand back up. Seniors in high school. Well, thank you. Look around. You'll see the class of 2013. Some of them are up in sunlight, too, so don't miss Briggs. We're really proud of them, and we're really thankful for the United Methodist women that are putting on a reception for them. We would love for you to get to see them. After the service, and come over to the atrium. There'll be a reception for them. You'll get to hear where they're graduating from, what their plans are for next year, enjoy some cake and some punch. But we definitely wanted them to have a chance to stand up and be recognized in the service as well, because they've been such a great part of this church family, and you all have supported them so much, from children's ministries up through youth ministries. And so we're grateful to you and wanted a chance for you to get to see them. And we'd love to send them out with a blessing. So this is Josh.
If we can say a quick prayer for these seniors and their families, let's pray. Oh, hello. Father, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for these seniors who are standing amongst us, Lord. Thank you for bringing them into our lives. Thank you for giving us the tremendous privilege and opportunity to help them grow and learn and continue on their journey with you. As they take this journey to the next step, as they go to college, Lord, to university, I pray that you would be with them, help them make wise decisions, help them understand and apply the principles of their faith that they've learned here. Be with them, keep them safe. Be with the families as they have to, just a little bit, let these guys and girls go, that you would teach them how to be supportive and encouraging, maybe from a little bit longer of a distance. All with faith that wherever their children go, you are with them. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Carly Thomas. Today, Sunlight will be singing Free to Be Me by Francesca Battistelli. When I listen to this song, I think of the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In the song, it says, on my own, I'm so clumsy, but on your shoulders, I can see I'm free to be me. I feel that the verse and the lyrics relate to each other because they both talk about how God has a plan for you individually and how that we should be ourselves because God made one of us and how God loves us. And now singing Free to Be Me is Callan Johnson.
At 20 years of age, I'm still looking for a dream. A war's already waged for my destiny. But you've already won the battle and you've got great plans for me. Though I can't always see, 'cause I got a couple dents in my fender.
Sunlight, thank you. Great song. I want to begin this Mother's Day by listening to or watching several famous people thank their mom. This 1.5-minute clip. Let's watch this.
And I want to thank my mother.
I want to thank my mother.
I'd like to thank my mother.
Thank my mom.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
Mama, esto es para ti.
My mother. I love you.
I love you, Mom.
So I'd like to thank my mom.
Especially my mom.
My mom.
My mom.
My mom.
Mom.
My mother.
My mother. Mi madre.
My mother, who did craft services for the film.
Who's the most brave, beautiful woman I've ever known.
The greatest woman on the planet is here tonight.
That's my mother, Ruth. My mother, John and Matt's mother, the most beautiful women here.
My mother, Blythe Tanner, who I love more than anything.
My mother taught me to write.
Taught me that all of my finger paintings were Picasso's.
Thanks to my mom for always encouraging us to try to make art.
For believing in me from the beginning.
Who made a life for me where I get to be a part of nights like this.
I don't care what they say about bringing you to award shows. I will always bring you to award shows because I'm proud of you and I love you.
You have sacrificed so much for me to be able to live here and make my dreams come true. And there are no words to describe how much I love you. I want to thank my mom who's given me the strength to fight every single day to be who I want to be and to give me the courage to dream that this dream might be happening and possible for me. I love you, Mom, so much.
So, Mom, this one's for you. Sagapopoli.
With this tonight, I honor you. And the moral of the story is, listen to your mother.
As a father, I always hate that part of the Oscars. don't they have dads out there? Whatever. No. Oh, that was a great way to lead into this. I want us to think about the idea of God as a mother today. Just live into that concept and let that, in some sense, shape our understanding of God, as well as perhaps our understanding of mom. Let's look at the scripture this morning. This is what Isaiah says. Isaiah is the one who refers to God as mom, as mother. This is what the Lord says. It's the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream, and will nurse and be carried on her arm and dangled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. See, the Lord is coming with fire and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's word. When I was studying theology, what was in vogue both at Asbury, at Tubingen, and at Princeton was, you can't, here's the big word, you can't anthropomorphize God. You can't project onto God, you shouldn't, human traits. God is above that, so you shouldn't think of God as father, mother, all of that. But instead, they suggested you use more philosophical terms like first cause or prime mover or unmoved mover. That really warms you up a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. I don't quite know why they said that, and I don't even know why I bought into it. Tillich's ground of our being. We have songs about omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all of those things. But you know what? The Bible does it differently. Isaiah, God is like a mother. Jesus told that wonderful story about a father who had two sons and one went into the far country, and you don't get into that story very far before you realize that father is God, is like God, and God is there as that father to welcome everybody back home who comes back home. So there's much warmer, much more tender, much more human sorts of things. And I think we can perceive God more appropriately, if we take the lead of the scriptures, these right images of God, these biblical images. Rob Bell, some of you have been reading Rob Bell a number of years. Several of you read his book, Love Wins. This is what we talk about when we talk about God. And I wish a lot of you would read this book, and then somewhere in June or sometime, I'll invite us together to discuss it. It's a provocative book. It's a thoughtful book. In his chapter 5, it's called just simply the word for. God is for us. As a mother, as your mother is for you. And he asked this question. When you've heard people talk about God, did they talk clearly and compellingly about a God who's for us? For us, regardless of people's background or religion or ethnic background? And do you believe God is for you or against you? Do you believe that God's desire is that you flourish, thrive? Do you believe God wants you to be everything you possibly can be and more? And he goes on to say, there's a staggering number of people in our world that the word for the Jesus message has been buried under a massive pile of againsts. God is against this. God is against that. God doesn't like this. You shouldn't do that. Or, more subtly, God loves you if you'll just. God is for you as long as you... And he says this, and I'll close with this. And he asks average people on the street what the first thing it is that comes to mind when they hear the word Christian. And it may not be that God is for us, when the very reality is that God was so for us, he came as one of us in this person of Jesus. And somehow over the layers of all of that, all that stuff in the history, sometimes we get the feeling that God is like this ogre who's trying to be against us and everything but make us happy. God is like a mother. God is like a mother who is for us. I asked a young mother in this congregation if she would write down some thoughts about God as mother, what that means to her. And I wish you would kind of live into that question yourself. If I thought of God as mother, what would that say to me about God? How would I write that out? And her words were, in my view, so inspired, I'm going to share them all with you today. Here's what she says. Just as I feel God cradles us through life, what a great image. It makes me think of how we swaddle our children tightly as infants, as the Clugstons did this morning, holding on tightly, to recreate the womb of safety. As toddlers, we stand alongside them, tightly hold their hands as they take their first steps. As adolescents, we squeeze them extra tight when someone at school hurts their feelings. As seniors, we send them off and say, behave at college or something like that. God is with us every step of the way, and I think mothers, no matter where our children might be, and this is such a cool idea, a mother is there with them. As they take tests, even though they're not in the room, as they take tests, swing their first bat, dance their first recital, swim their first event, make their first touchdown. Jan almost had to stop going to Darren. She kept going, but didn't want to go to Darren's football games because when the quarterback, when he was going to get hammered, she was being hammered. When a friend breaks their heart, when they fall off their bike, their joys and sorrows become our own. That's what God is like, isn't it? God is right there with them too, with us too. God is like a mom. God loves us unconditionally. Mothers feel the same way about their children. I always want my children to feel safe and loved. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to feel safe and loved. And I believe God desires the same things. When my children are happy, even when they're sad, I seem to take on that emotion. I bet every mom in here can identify with that, can't you? Someone said, parents are only as happy as their least happy child. It's true, isn't it? And I think we can dare to believe that that's how God feels towards us. We can dare to believe that that's how God feels toward us. God is for us. In our class on Wednesday nights, A Disciple's Path, this last session is on the fifth of our church membership vows. I promise to support the church with my prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And our witness, that can be such a stumbling block. How do we do that? How do we share our witness, our understanding of Christ? And I'm coming to the point where we just say, you know, to me, God's like my mom. Wants me to be safe. Wants me to feel secure and loved. God is like a father who welcomes me back when I mess up. It's not that hard. It's not that hard if we keep it simple. Years ago, I bought a book or was given a book called Lord, Could You Make It a Little Better? By Robert Raines. This one's called Loyalty That Laid Hold Deep in Me. It's a poem. Mother's Day, the phony commercialism, the shallow sentimentalism. I resent being directed by ad men and con men to appreciate a special person by the numbers on a date or day. But my mother, coming around the corner, seeing me in a fight with another boy, not knowing whose fault, shouting from half a block away, "Give it to him, Bob!" Well, I don't know. Well, that's another matter. Gloriously, blindly prejudiced in my favor. What it means to have someone prejudiced in your favor. Unconditional love. My mother, speaking in a contest, whether I won or lost, she thought I was the best. Reality problems, pride problems, self-esteem stuff. But what it means to have someone think you're the best. Loyalty that laid hold deep in me. My mother, driving me on dates when I was too young to have a license, having olives and peanuts when I came home from college on vacation, because she knew they were a treat for me, accepting my wife as a daughter, letting me go to be a husband, wanting to be remembered, appreciated, valued, sometimes hurt at being taken for granted, not realizing that she built into my bones whatever confidence in myself I have, whatever capacity to trust, whatever strength of being. My mother, hidden health of my life. Well, I think you feel the same way about your mom and about God. And as I listened to the Sunlight song, I couldn't decide, are they singing about God or their mom or who? And I think when those get mixed up, it's a good thing. Here's a picture of not my mother, but my grandmother, my mom's mom, whom I never knew. Her name is Amelia. She died when my mom was 2 months old. She got phlebitis, like a lot of people did back in childbirth in that time. But she put into my mom's DNA something really special. And mom almost made up for not having a mom by being this amazing mom who fixed farm meals for us, iced tea, and way too much sugar in the iced tea. And she loved to watch The Price is Right, which I thought was a little odd, but she liked it. Sorry, all of you who like it. Worked beside us in the huge garden, went to our 4-H shows, our FFA shows. Mostly I thank Mom for the quiet talks we had when I couldn't sort out life. She and I, of all boys, she and I are the ones that picked black raspberries on hot July days, getting poked and sticked. But still to this day, my favorite pie, because Mom and I picked the black raspberries. God is like a mom. Let's look at the scripture again, if you would. Now that you've sensed this, this is God talking like a mother. I will extend peace. That's what every mom wants for their child, peace. What God wants for us. And well-being, wealth of nations, like a flooding stream. God is for us. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dangled on her knee. As a mother comforts her child, so will God comfort you. Remember that. As a mom comforts her child, God comforts you. Then the next verse. When you see this, your heart will rejoice. You'll flourish. God wants us all to flourish like a mom wants you to flourish. The hand of God will be made known to his servants. but his fury will be shown to his foes. The last verse. See, the Lord is coming with fire. You ever seen an upset mom? You ever seen an enraged mom? When somebody's touching their child or doing something wrong, I mean, that it's just like this. It's just like this. And it ought to be. And I have a feeling if we understood, it's a whole different subject, if we understood sin in a different category instead of what I was taught, transgression of a known law, if we understood it as somebody's hurting one of God's kids. And God is angry about that. Just as a mom or a dad are angry about something that's hurtful to somebody else. Wow. Well, but there's that other part of being a mom or a dad, and that is you don't always know what the right thing to do is with your kid, do you? Whether you're overboard at protecting, whether you're sort of codependent, all those issues come into being. I want to show you in just a minute here a clip from another, from a movie called Ray. It's the Ray Charles story. Great movie. Love his music. His blindness seemed, like so often the case, to sort of heighten the other senses in his life. This particular clip, he's just become blind at a fairly early age, about 5 or so. And in this clip, his mom is there with him, and she's debating. You can feel the internal struggle. Do I rush over to help him and thereby maybe hinder him in life? Or do I let him find his own way? It's a balancing act that you and I all live out. Let's watch.
I hear you too, Mama. You're right there.
Yes, I am.
I heard you too, Mama. You're right there. All of us felt that God wasn't there. And God was there, just like Ray Charles' mom. Many of you know that my mom died 17 years ago, May 28, 1996. March 28th that year, she was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And we didn't know how long it would go, or all those questions. And some of you have heard me tell this story before, but I want to tell it again because it's going to lead us into Holy Communion. And after Easter that year in April, I flew up and joined Mom and Dad, and we spent the day together, and we went to Bob Evans for lunch. Every farmer in Ohio goes to Bob Evans for lunch. And I'll never forget that Mom wasn't able to go inside, so Dad asked the waitress to come out, and she knew them, of course, and she came out with a styrofoam cup of coffee, and Dad humbly asked, could you bring a ceramic cup of coffee? Mom prefers ceramic. Afterwards, I said to Mom and Dad, would you like us, the boys, to come and we'll have communion? I said, we'd love to do that. So that night, Mom sat in her rocking chair in the living room, and Dad and all six of us boys gathered around. I took the bread, and we did the three elements of communion. We remembered the past. We remembered what Jesus had done for us. We thanked him. We confessed. And we remembered times with Mom when she spanked us with the maple cream paddle, and when she loved us, and when she did amazing things for us. And we just took 20, 30 minutes to remember. And that's what we do in communion. That's what you do. You remember. And so you say to Jesus, thank you for those things, and I'm sorry I messed up here. And then we move to the present, and we thank God that he was present, even though we couldn't necessarily see him in the midst of Mom's illness. But we claim that on the basis of the historic Christian faith, that he was there with us. And that we affirm that in the communion elements, that when I shared the words, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts and bread and wine, we trusted, we believed that Christ was present and the living Christ was in the elements, as I affirm that today. And we celebrated Jesus being with us in that room, in that time, in our pain and in our joys. And then we look to the future, because that's the other part of the communion liturgy. We celebrate Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, and we'll feast at his heavenly banquet. This is a foretaste of that time. And for us, it was a celebration, looking to that time when we again would gather around Mom's dinner table and we would eat at her banquet. I share that with you to invite you to the table where Jesus said to his disciples and to us, this is the body of Christ, broken for you, for me. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Just like a mom who pours out her being for her family. The blood of Christ. I'm going to invite the ushers, and Jay, would you come and help me bring the elements down? Ushers, would you come? And dear friends, if you're new to us, if you're new to the church, we welcome you. We invite you to receive. You don't have to be a member of this church. Jay, come on up if you would. And while we join together in singing. You got them. Just down there. And let them pull them off the top.
The Lord's my shepherd. He makes me down to lie.
Body of Christ, broken for you, take and feed on him by faith. And the blood of our Lord Jesus, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, take and drink. Oh God, we give you thanks for this great mystery, the presence of the living Christ within and around us, changing and empowering us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Take somebody's hand as you enable and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
There's a sweet